Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs and how through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here's the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Good.
Good.
We're a little, I don't say we're exhausted, but we might be in recovery from our recent transition from our little blue house on Broad Street, right, to our temporary space where we have a local church that's hosting us until we land on our permanent location. So we're very grateful for that. In light of that transition, one of you has found a little scripture that you'd like to use for today's edition of Word Made Flesh that kind of, at least for you, and hopefully for the rest of us, parallels that experience and helps keep us focused on what God is doing in the midst of what seems to be upheaval, chaos, et cetera, et cetera. Right, is that fair enough? So, Mark, would you go ahead and like to share what that scripture is and then read that for us?
Sure. I'll be doing Philippians 3, 7 through 14. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of Christ, of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participate in the participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus.
Very good. Very good. Thank you. All right. Opening comments, thoughts, questions.
Personally, I found rebirth at that blue house on Broad Street. And it was a really powerful thing. The past week and a half or so of packing everything up, and those last few moments in the house, I went back in to lock the doors for the last time and shut off the rest of the lights. It was very powerful for me. It felt like I was leaving behind a family member, but that feeling passed when I walked out the back door and I saw my family out there standing behind the moving truck and ready to go. Because I know we have a mission here. We're not just residents at a homeless shelter stopping until we find gainful employment or find a stable residence. God placed us here for a mission. We have things to do. We're just changing a base of operations.
So we press on.
Yes.
Good. Anybody else? What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm gonna. For me, this made me think of. Here I go trying to switch the Bible around, but I think this part should go before this other part where Paul talks about be content in all things with all circumstances. You know, kind of ties in with what you thought was a gain and what he accumulated did was actually a loss, but. At the end of Philippians, it says, hey, I've learned the secret of being content in all things, whether, you know, and I've been there. I'm still there some days. I'm still running on low fuel sometimes. Sometimes I can fill the gas tank up. Sometimes I have to put stuff back at the grocery counter. Sometimes I have an extra 10 bucks to help the person in front of me that's short. So to learn to be content in all things, in a certain sense, to me, that why I say it should be before this and not the same press on towards the goal, it's just because we should be content in all things doesn't mean we settle. You keep your eye on the prize, you keep your eye on the goal, you keep on moving. But whatever level you're at, be grateful, be thankful for where you're at here. Or you're, you know, not that you're stuck here. I always read it different before, but every time I reread stuff, it has a new meaning today than it even did last week. And my thing is that be content, but don't settle. We still have to press on.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Paul, if we don't surrender, if we don't, I mean, if we keep this context, when Paul's writing, he's basically saying, look at before I met you, when I met Jesus on that horse on my way to Damascus, right, and I showed him my resume,
yeah,
it carried no weight. Nothing. Everything I thought, my degrees, right, my commitment to Judaism and the temple and the law and everything else didn't mean jack. What I thought were my assets, I now consider losses. That I have to surrender all that, anything that opposes being in union with Jesus, we must see as a loss. For only then can we gain. So we have to go through this process of surrendering the losses in order to attach ourselves fully to Christ before we can even be content. It's kind of, it's not like a first second. It's almost like what you're saying. I think they kind of go together. Because sometimes you go, oh man, you know, I don't really want to. Right? I mean, we can struggle with that, to be content. But can you be content saying, you know, I don't care. You know, if you look at somebody like me, you know, you can have, you know, a graduate degree. That doesn't necessarily make me good before Jesus. Right? And we got to play this out far enough. Just because you call yourself a Christian doesn't mean you've necessarily, right, gotten rid of the resume.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Titles, accomplishments, et cetera, et cetera, in our past, don't always, we can't consider all those assets before Christ. We have to be willing to forego those. That's what he's talking about. And we have to be content. We have to be okay on letting go of those. And as we move with Christ, if we're in union with Christ, whatever comes our way, moving out of the big blue house, we're okay with that. Right? There's nothing wrong with acknowledging the sorrow. I mean, God blessed us immensely there for 13 years. Does that mean God's not going to continue to bless us? So we'll be content in our little, we call this our little wilderness experience, but yeah, we learn to be content in all those things. Right? And it's somewhat of an aggressive move. So when he says, you know, I press forward, I strain, right? There's this individual effort when it comes to our spiritual formation that we have to realize that letting go of some things that, you know, God may be asking us to let go of, right? Takes effort. And if we're going to be authentically in Christ, we're going to be in his resurrection, we have to go through those things.
I usually don't do football analogies, but Super Bowl stuff's coming up. So it made me think when you're saying press on, sometimes it's not a step back, it's a repositioning. You got to let go of certain things before you face that offense or defense,
right,
before you make that next move to get those gains. And, another thing, like, you know, you got to, that contentment, sometimes for me in my past, has turned to complacentness. Like, I'm just cool, whatever it is, content with what it is. So it's like your achievement kind of gets stagnant. I think that what you're saying, you're just digging in and keep pressing on no matter what. Sometimes it's just a repositioning or, you know, getting back to your, you know. The thing is not having the fear to press on towards the goal, like another football thing, okay. You got to throw a lot of interceptions, a lot of incompletions to get a touchdown. You don't just get out there and start throwing touchdowns. So I think that pressing on towards the goal, sometimes we limit and hold ourselves back because we have fear that we're gonna fail. We're not going to make it, but there's
no
football thing.
There you go.
It's a time where you can take and you need to look at yourself truthfully. You know, you need to see what are your chains. You know, what are your barriers and things that you need to be able to surrender in your life right now, so you can follow your real path, your real journey, get back on track. You know, from that diversion that you just might have taken. Maybe you're taking a diversion in your life. You might need to be able to get back on track. So you have to see yourself truthfully to see what's holding you back. What's keeping you in bondage, and purge that. Let it go, you know?
You know, Mark, you really made me think of something when you're talking about that word picture you paint of closing the house up, missing family, missing what's dear to you, and then looking outside and seeing family. Like, what we think of as death in our humanness, or what we think of as the end of something in our humanness, really hits me. This one really hits me hard in this one. This is a very flowery passage and very much so It's the kind of one that you put latex letters on your wall or something of this. It's very, you know, if you think about classic Pauline stuff, this is it. But there's some mechanics in here that I think we've missed at times. Becoming like him in his death really hits me hard today. So, like, experiencing death, Paul really takes the accounting ledger of what it is to do life, to be human, and reverses it in this. The red pen and black pen. What was my profit is now lost. What I thought was cool is the total inverse of that. I don't know. It just hits me in a new way this morning. To not look at death is a necessary thing. The end of seasons, the end of cycles is a necessary thing. We see it time and time and time and time throughout Scripture. And to not cling to those things in our humanness and say, no, God, this can't pass. This has to last forever. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. God's got so much for you around the corner. But when you're holding so tight to something, that whole metaphor, you can't receive what you're going to get. I don't know. It just hits me new this morning of like, that's so to look at Jesus' example in death and be brave in the face of death, be brave enough to be weak in the face of death, be brave enough to know that there's a bigger picture, be brave enough to look at the person to your left and your right and say, you know what, you'll join me in the kingdom today. Like, it's a communal thing.
And it's also be brave enough to put to death.
To let it go.
I mean, Colossians, Paul says, you put to death that sinful nature. And we've talked about sarks before, and it can be anything that's really hindering our... Look, if we don't put certain things to get to death, like Paul put to death his past and everything with it, and all, you know, and the law, blah, blah, blah.
His way of thinking, everything.
Yeah, by putting that to death, in a sense, what Paul understands is I'm being resurrected into a new life in Christ.
It can be death throwing. Right? Again, like you said, like, so whenever people say that, I always think of the cross, the whole great ending of it all. And I think that death, Jesus, he's talking about, Jesus took a first death and let something go in Mark 1:11 when he accepted, you know, be my beloved son, all pleased with you, when John baptized him. I think he just let some things go, stepped into that truest identity. Mm-hmm. And as Paul is saying, you know, along our path, there's going to be things, you're thinking, the way you react to certain conversations, situations. It's like, I'm loved so much that I keep getting repeats on a lot of tests. The same situation, maybe a different person, well, how are you going to react this time?
Mm-hmm.
And you failed the last 17 times. Okay, so this time I'm not going to.
And what a blessing.
What got, yeah, like,
right? Isn't that God's grace?
Yeah, he's like, yeah. Try it again. You know, not that God tests us, life itself has tests. But I just find myself, you're really aware and alert. This is the same thing that happened 10 years ago, 15 years ago, last month. But last, I failed every other time. So this time, I'm not going to say what I said. You know what I mean? It's like deja vu. Right. So that's, you have a chance. Yeah.
That's the spirit living in us.
Yeah, it's like,
right? That kind of goes, remember? All right, well, let's work on this way. Because we are. That's part of that straining forward towards the goal, which is, you know, God's vision for God's creation. So we can't really participate in it. Kingdom building, if we don't even understand what that is, and what it costs us. I mean, this is part of a cost of discipleship, right? I mean, you know, you can't be so aggressive that it's all about the works, because that's what Paul says, I surrender, because he's all about the law and doing the works, and I find my own salvation, right? Can't do that. Neither can we be this contented couch potato Christian, right? No, we have to be somewhat aggressive in advancing, pressing toward, right? Straining, I mean, that tells you right there that it's going to be hard work to move forward. But we can only do it if our eyes are set on the goal of Christ himself. Any other thoughts?
Last night, Rob Bell did a little on his podcast thing. It's like what you've always taught us, live life as anticipation of kingdom now. He said something like, the Bible isn't to teach you how to live in the kingdom of heaven when you die. To teach you how to live in the kingdom now, you know. And then he went on talking about, he's talking about his, how it is now, like, yeah, not, you know, I go to church on Sunday, I have this degree, I do, I'm all right kind of guy, I do this, and I'm going to follow all these rules so I can get there when it's here. And so it's for us here.
Yeah, we live today in anticipation of what it's going to be, right?
I just see the way even Christians, the way they treat people, like, follow all these rules, squeaky clean, you know what I mean? I remember some people like that were the Pharisees, you know? They look good, but then you still, but, like, your heart still is like a, you know, a different, yeah, it's like...
Interesting, you know, thought. It makes me wonder. A lot of us believers, we're not going to know what to do when we get to heaven on Sunday morning.
Hmm.
Really, we're going to go to church? Or we're going to be the church? Mark, thank you very much for selecting this pericope for us to study today. John, I appreciate your contributions and to this edition of Word Made Flesh. And until we meet again, may God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you always.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include the Men's Ministry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our Third Day Farm Project, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, and of course our radio ministry, Word Made Flesh. We're also in the process of establishing a women's and children's transitional housing program. Find out how you can become a neighbor of hope at neighborsofhope.com. And please join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.